At Northwest Bank, we're here for what's next. The next bucket list trip, the next home renovation, or the next milestone celebration. Right now, earn 4.0% annual percentage yield with a new high-yield performance savings account. Opening an account online takes just minutes. Go to northwest.com/performance to get started today. And visit a new financial center opening in your neighborhood soon. Member FDIC. Northwest Bank. For what's next.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
At Northwest Bank, we're here for what's next. The next bucket list trip, the next home renovation, or the next milestone celebration. Right now, earn 4.0% annual percentage yield with a new high-yield performance savings account. Opening an account online takes just minutes. Go to northwest.com/performance to get started today. And visit a new financial center opening in your neighborhood soon. Member FDIC. Northwest Bank. For what's next.
This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Good morning. You got me today. Robin is out here. We'll be back tomorrow. Lindsay Clancy is on trial in Plymouth for the deaths of Cora Dawson and Cal and her three children. And nobody's arguing about who did it. The whole fight is whether she knew what she was doing. And prosecutors say the answer is all over her phone. That's the big thing, her phone. Because she checked where her husband was going when he went to get takeout. That means she's a criminal mastermind who wanted to murder her children. We're going to break all this down, and we're going to try and understand it from every perspective here. If you've been watching the coverage, you know what I feel about this already. But we're going to talk about it from the prosecution standpoint. That's actually where we're going to start first. And we're going to talk about it from the defense standpoint. And we're also going to talk about it for what does justice actually look like in a case like this. Joining me today to do all that, it's Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Bob, I know you guys are covering this extensively over on Defense Diaries, and we are as well over here. Let's just start with where a lot of the prosecution, you know, they're seeming to hang their hat. Trial's not even started as of yet, but where we're seeing a lot of the noise come out of, she texted him at 4:53 that she didn't feel like cooking. They ordered dinner at 5:10. He left at 5:15. Prosecutors say that she checked how long the drive was while he went out to get takeout, and that's when she acted. And they're saying, well, if she was out of her mind, how does she pull that off by looking at the app and seeing where her husband is? Well, I mean, the idea of what someone is when they're out of their mind, there's the movie version and there's the real life version, and they don't look exactly the same. People don't understand that a person that is in a psychotic state can seem normal on the outside. But I guess you've been in courtrooms your entire life, and having a jury try to understand some of these kind of basic psychological principles of human beings, will a jury understand that, Bob?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, and that's why, frankly, to me, this is probably one of the most important cases to come along in probably the last two decades, because it's really putting not just Lindsey Clancy on trial, but it's mm-hmm. also putting the healthcare industry on trial. It's putting Big Pharma on trial, because that's going to be the defense. And to your pointed question, I think – and we'll probably see it in the chat And I just want to say that obviously I'm destroyed that those three little beautiful babies lost their life. Like, I, yeah. I think we all agree that that is beyond the pall. It's the most horrific thing. And it was at the hand of the person that biologically is supposed to protect those children more than any other person on the planet. So it's mm-hmm. a very, very hard thing for people to kind of look at this case and say, wow, I'm willing to keep an open mind, which is all I'm ever asking anybody to do with this case, which is listen to the evidence. Try to learn a bit about mental health and try to learn a little bit about SSRIs. Try to learn a little bit about psychosis and what it really is, and then come to a decision on this case. And it's just human nature is going to make it very, very difficult for people to do that because of the babies. You know, when you have that type of loss at the hand of the mother, people are coming into that courtroom as potential jurors feeling a certain way about it. And they're not wrong to feel that way about it.
I mean,
because at first blush, it's so shocking that it's impossible for you to kind of put that aside. And we're always talking about that on your show, and I'm with you on our show all the time. You know, emotion has no place in the courtroom. As cold and shitty as that sounds, that's the reality of it. We have to deal with the facts and the evidence and the law. That's it. We can't allow for emotions to rule the day and make our decisions in those courtrooms in terms of verdicts based on what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a very tall task for the defense. I mean, they don't call, and they call it lack of criminal responsibility in Massachusetts, as opposed to not guilty by reason of insanity. So it's the same beast, different name. And lawyers call that the defense of last resort for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very difficult to get people to understand and appreciate and accept those things that are being told in court as fact, when the end result of it is that they have to utter the words not guilty because she lacked the criminal responsibility because of her state of her mind. It's a very, very hard row to hoe, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get people to see things in black and white. And that seems to be the goal of the prosecution here in this case. Not much of a gray area being presented, which is where reality really exists in this case. You know, in asking 18 jurors here to come and get on the same page is a stiff request, I think, in either direction, quite honestly. This would be a case we'd not be shocked if we have a hung jury.
Yeah.
Why is the state so reluctant to focus on medical facts and psychology, understood psychology of how these sort of things work, to understand what happened in this case? I mean, are they bound by something that they have to prosecute her at this level because of the crime in this state? Or is this something where the DA looking at this is just not as in tune with the depths and the sad realities of what something like postpartum psychosis actually looks like? Because this is a case where she went to such lengths to get help, and she was drugged 50 different ways to Tuesday from her doctors that couldn't find a way to communicate with the other one on what they're putting her on. This is like such a, to me, it's a pillar example of the medical system screwing up when someone is begging for help and then blaming the victim after they drugged the shit out of her. And I said, see, you did horrible, crazy things. You're an evil woman. This is not that. No. I don't understand. I mean, it's pretty black and white to me in that area of who did what. The state knows that. The DA knows that. Why go pedal to the metal going after this woman who says, yes, I did this, but here's why. Why are they pushing this so hard, Bob?
You know what? I mean, the only thing that you can kind of land on is they're bending to the will of the people.
Yeah.
And again, it's always going to fall back on the fact that you know, those three beautiful little kids lost their lives at the hand of their mother. And if you were to poll just the public at large without telling them anything about the facts of the case, without informing them anything about what Lindsey Clancy tried to accomplish in terms of getting herself right mentally. And you just told them kind of the factual scenario of what happened, you know, people are going to be inclined to want justice for those kids.
Sure.
And they don't care that it's the mother, and they don't care what may have drove her to do it. You know, they, like that, that it's just one of those things. We live in a very eye for an eye society. Mm-hmm. And selling the concept that somebody could do something like this while in a state of psychosis, wherein the state is coming and rebutting it, but saying, well, she couldn't have been psychotic. Mm-hmm. Like, she was Googling restaurants. She was buying herself time. Like, you can't be psychotic and do those things. But yes, you can.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, and ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to whether or not the lawyers can convince. And Kevin Reddington is a fantastic criminal defense attorney. I mean, the guy, if you're going to watch the trial, which I suggest is hard of a trial as this is going to be to watch. And
yeah,
it's going to be all of that, because you're going to be, it's a very triggering trial, but it's an important trial. Because it's long overdue that our mental health and our health system in this country and big pharma is put on trial. And believe me, that's going to be happening here. This woman was failed. Not just this woman, those children, husband, the in-laws, her mother, everybody was failed. Because this wasn't, as you said, T, you talked about it.
Yeah.
This wasn't a woman who was secreting away the fact that she was going mad.
No. And I want to get to that when we get to talking about what justice looks like in this a little bit later in our conversation. But you're exactly right. I mean, there's so much failing that went on here. Another factor is we're talking about the prosecution and what they're bringing to the table in this case. 3 months before, she allegedly wrote on her phone that she sort of regretted her older kids. Again, this is not a healthy mind that is making these sort of statements, these sort of thoughts, expressing these sort of thoughts. Anyone who's been with someone or anyone who's had postpartum depression, this is postpartum psychosis. It pushes it way the hell beyond. It's like off the spectrum. It's so much more severe. But it seems, you know, you're going to have little tells, little things like that, little statements like that from a mother who is otherwise loving and devoted to her children. Making statements like that is not a healthy brain. Does that help or hurt the case that this was seemingly an ongoing problem of her being disconnected mentally from her children, making statements like them? Does that help her with the jury?
In it does when it's taken in conjunction with the medical experts that the defense is going to be putting on in terms of explaining this to the jury. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the real purpose of expert witnesses. And if you have good ones, and I hope that they do, I hope that they've hired the best of the best.
Yeah.
Because you need people that are able to articulate in a way that lay people can understand and have it resonate truly, deeply with them. Mm-hmm. What is going on with the human mind in this particular situation? And because, like, getting over that hump. You know, because look, on our channel, we went through, there's a civil suit that was filed on behalf of Lindsey against all the medical providers and the facilities that they worked in. Okay. And we went through the entire complaint. Rosemary Scapiccio, who is one of the most outstanding post-conviction lawyers in the country, decided to take this on, and she's handling the civil side of this. And her breakdown of exactly Lindsey's journey, starting with, because she had postpartum when they had their second child. Mm-hmm. It didn't reach the levels that it did.
That
when she had Callen. But it was much worse when it hit the third time.
Yeah.
And she realizes it, and she knows, and she's telling her husband, she's telling her mother, she's telling her mother-in-law, like, I can't function. And it was initially, there was a state of mania that she was in, wherein after she had the baby, she was exercising like maniacally. Within 2 weeks, she had like entered a 5K, like after giving birth. Like it was a state of mania.
Yeah.
And no one in terms of the treaters asked about that, because when they're looking at it in terms of bipolar and an onset of bipolar in conjunction with the postpartum depression. So she had two things going on, and whether or not it was the medication itself or it was, you know, kind of pharmaceutical toxicity poisoning, mm-hmm. whatever happened with her when they first gave her the Zoloft to help her sleep because she couldn't sleep, and it had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Like it made everything worse. She was feeling way more anxious. She couldn't sleep at all. And as she continued to try to treat, and she would see that what they were giving her wasn't working, she would move on to a different facility. Now, like, you know, and I've seen people, and she's a nurse.
Yeah.
Like she's a prenatal, she's a labor nurse.
And let me ask you about, I mean, how do you think that affects how the jury sees her? Because the prosecution's going to take this and go, see, she knows how to work the system. She's part of the system. If anybody should know how to express to a doctor that she's having these problems clearly and effectively, it's her. How do you counter that?
Because she did.
Exactly.
Everything that she did, like, that's what she did. When something wasn't working, she moved on to the next provider, hoping that they could get it right. This is the way that I try to explain this case to people.
Yeah.
All right. You've got Patrick Clancy, who was her husband at the time and the father of all three of those children. And he is going to be testifying on his wife's behalf. This very same woman that took his children's lives. That in and of itself is incredibly powerful, because you need to put yourself in that position. If there was any part of you as the husband and the father of those children that thought there was something else going on, that this was something that there was a grander plan, that she had another man on the side, that she no longer wanted to be married to Patrick and be a mom anymore. If there was any thought of that at all, you would know that that man would not be sitting there testifying on behalf of his wife in this trial. And that is what's happening here. Everybody that knows her, she was a loving, doting mother, even when she was fighting through the postpartum depression. Like Patrick is saying, like, even though we knew that she was going through it, it still never affected the love that she was displaying and showing with the children.
No.
So, you know, like, anything, when her mind starts to go wrong, she's not hiding it. She's telling her providers, and she continually, she ends up going to four different facilities.
Yeah.
And none of them are speaking to one another in terms of their treatment plans. It's like, if we had the time, I would sit here and read through about 40 paragraphs of this complaint, because it lays it out perfectly as to, but watch the trial. This is what the defense is going to be. And this entire case for the state rests on that thing that you said in the open, this concept that she planned, that it was premeditated. Mm-hmm. Like this, like, that's the hurdle that's going to be so difficult for the defense and their experts to get people to get over, which is that people just have the movie version, like you were saying, of what psychosis is. And that's not reality. Movies are not reality.
Yeah.
You can be absolutely psychotic, and it is not a 24/7 symptom-heavy situation wherein you can't function normally at any point during the day. That's not how it works.
No.
That is not how it works. And you know, when you have the auditory hallucinations, wherein it's the voice, the deep male voice, commanding voice, telling her, you know, the things that she's saying that it was saying to her, which again, it's going to come out at trial that this is not something that was a mystery to anybody. Like, she was trying to get it fixed, and all they kept doing was pumping her with drugs. And the Seroquel, when they gave it to her, when they finally diagnosed her with the onset bipolar, is what put her over the edge. And I can tell you that when they gave my 82-year-old father Seroquel to try to help him sleep, that within 46 or 48 hours, he came up. He's like, I cannot take this. This makes me feel like I'm crazy. He's like, the racing thought, like, I've seen so many people talking about what Seroquel has done to them. Mm-hmm. This trial is going to shine a bright light on what Big Pharma has been doing to people in this country, starting with the opioid epidemic and moving on from there.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's like people want to point a finger at somebody. The problem is it's a lot of somebodies. And the last of which is Lindsey Clancy. I hate to tell you.
No, 1,000%. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, where you're talking there about the prosecution of Lindsey Clancy, what we're likely to be seeing here in the coming weeks at trial.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.